God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a young professional woman from Ohio who decided to seek her fortune, discern her vocation, maybe potentially change her life for the better. And she determined that she needed to do that by moving to England. And so she relocated to London, and she began to pursue an advanced degree and seeking new opportunities for work in the world and in the community she was living. One of the things that she took with her, though, from the Midwest was an insatiable love for the Chicago Cubs, the professional baseball team, right? And she followed the games on the internet. She listened to live feeds. But the problem with this arrangement was that when the games began around 7 or 8 in the evening in the United States, it was 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning in London. And so that made for either a very late or a very early bedtime. So last year, when the Cubs were on the cusp of qualifying for the World Series, she eagerly tuned in to listen to all the games, especially the games where they would qualify. And she had been listening now to every Cubs game during that year. All the broadcasts, all those that were in the middle of the night where she lived. And so after tuning into the game that was to seal the Cubs' fate, the inevitable happened. She fell asleep, and she woke up only to hear the post-game wrap-up. The Cubs had won. They were in the World Series. And she'd missed all the excitement. On her Facebook page, she lamented, "I waited for years for a moment like this, and I slept through it." Well, is there a moral to the story? I suppose there could be, but one would be to try to get more sleep. Another might be try to order your affairs in such a way that you will be alert when events transpire that you believe to be of critical importance to you. Now, in this young woman's defense, once the World Series began, she stayed awake for every game. And her comment was, "True Cubs fans never give up." And so in the demonstration of her commitment to her favorite team, she remained faithful to the very last out, staying awake for all of it. Well, the writer of the Gospel of Mark sets the tone for the Christian season of Advent with this appropriate advice. Something important is happening. Stay awake. Don't miss it. Now, the context for Mark's good advice is a parable that sounds to many modern readers like some an antique story, hardly something that you would apply today. But here's the problem with the parable. As it was originally intended, it undoubtedly presumed that there would be a cosmic event, an ending of human history of some sort in the near future for those first readers of the hearers of Mark's message. And Mark's gospel reflects this conviction in more than one place. In fact, the entire 13th chapter of Mark is known to biblical scholars and most preachers who preach on this gospel as the little apocalypse. An apocalypse was understood to be the rolling up of the scroll of history, a dramatic end of the current age, the ushering in of a new and different one. And many believe that it was indeed the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD to which Jesus was referring. And given the nature of the four New Testament Gospels and the circumstances in which they were written, we have this remarkable pronouncement of Jesus in this Gospel. Mark has him promising, or at least warning, that that there was going to be something that was going to come, and that the people needed to listen to him, especially those who were coming to the end of the age. So that makes one wonder what Jesus, or at least what Mark, thought the end of the age was supposed to look like. If there truly is to be a cosmic interruption of our life on our planet, then of course Mark's gospel, which calls his listeners to stay awake, makes perfect sense. But to his hearers, and maybe to us even, what if the cosmic interruption never comes? You know, there's good evidence, as the first believers maybe imagined it, that such an event never even occurred. So then, does this parable really have anything to say to us? Well, most certainly it does. You see, this parable about watching and waiting, about staying awake, has a cosmic meaning that I don't even think the first hearers of Jesus' words could even begin to imagine. But I think this is what it is. I think what Jesus is saying is that at any moment in human history, including our generation, God's surprise interruption of the ordinary flow of things can and does break into our lives. And why should it? Simply put, it's because our universe is grounded in God's power, in His majesty, in the love that He has for everything that He created. We don't exist, much less stay alive and thrive and survive, without the power and the presence of God flowing through and into us, flowing out of us, giving us life and meaning, not only for now, but for the future. But it is possible to go to sleep on this reality. And some suppose that life then is just an accident or a meaningless joke. And there are those who can live their lives with no realization whatsoever of the power and the presence of God that keeps our lives going, through which God energizes our very existence. You can stumble along. You can wonder where you come from. You can even wonder perhaps where you're going. Or, as the text says, you can wake up. So as we launch into this brand new Christian church year, what is it that is happening through which we don't want to be found sleeping? Well, to put it simply, we're in the midst of an invasion, a revolution calculated to upend everything that seems ordinary. God is preparing to come into His world, not just as a Christ child, but also at the end of time. And no one should sleep through such a revolution. You see, the invasion comes from the greatest presence known to humanity, the living God in a baby. This living God who created our astounding universe, who brought to life on this planet our incredible ecosystem, ruled, or sometimes we misrule it, but nevertheless, it is into this very unlikely cauldron, if you will, of human existence and striving and hoping and seeking and doing and stumbling and succeeding, that God enters, that He unloads, if you will, all His energy in our midst, energizing us. The Greek word for that energy is dunamis, which is the Greek word from which we get dynamite. Jesus, the Christ, the agent of God's great gift, the energy that launches this revolution into the human family. You see, in our experience, Jesus is the power that comes to us through the gift of His Holy Spirit. It is the energy that turns our life toward God. It is the Spirit of God that is at work in our midst right now, largely through people who are already, like you and me, caught up in it. You see, Advent's message is a reminder of something that's also true in March or in July, that the power of God is busy. He is busy right now turning the lives of people around whom He loves. And He says, we are a part of that. Yes, some of us are ready, but some of us might miss the revolution by sleeping through it. You know, I know there are preachers today who kind of use this promise of Jesus to return as a means of scaring people into believing into His second coming. Well, perhaps this story will help us understand just a little bit better what this Advent season is all about. A long time ago, there was a little boy whose parents died. And so he was taken in by an aunt who raised him as her own child. Many years later, after the boy had grown and become very successful in his business, he received a letter from his aunt. She was terminally ill, and from the tone of her letter, quite afraid of death. And so this man, who had been raised and strongly influenced by this woman, decided to write her a letter in response. He began, "You know, it's now 35 years since I, a little boy of 6, was left quite alone in the world. You sent me word that you would give me a home and be mother to me. I've never forgotten the day when I made that long journey of 10 miles to your home. I remember being disappointed that instead of coming yourself, you sent your servant Caesar to fetch me. I will remember my tears and anxiety as, perched atop your horse and clinging to Caesar, we rode off to your home. Night fell before we finished our journey, and as it grew dark, I became more afraid. Do you think she will go to bed before we get there?" I asked. "Oh, no," said Caesar. "She will certainly stay up with you. And when we get through these woods, you will see a little light shining in her window." We made it there to the clearing, and there was the light, just as he promised. "And I remember that you were waiting at the doorway. You put your arms around me and lifted me, a tired, frightened little boy, and gently took me from the horse and safely placed me on the ground. You had a fire burning and a hot supper waiting for me on the stove. And after supper, you took me to my new room and you listened to my prayers and then you waited until I fell asleep. You probably know why I'm retelling these events to you. Very soon, God is going to send for you and to take you to a new home. And I'm trying to tell you that you need not worry nor be afraid of the summons or of the strange journey or the dark messenger of death. God can be trusted to do as much for you as you did for me so many years ago. You can wait and not fear. For at the end of the road, you will find love and welcome waiting you, and you will be safe in God's care. And I will watch you, and I will pray for you until you are out of my sight. And then I shall also wait for the day when I will make the same journey and find you waiting me to greet me at the end of the road. Well, that powerful little story illustrates what the Advent season we enter today is all about. And it's an important theme of remaining awake while we wait. During this Advent liturgical season of the year, we wait for the coming of the Lord in two ways. We wait for His second coming, when the world will be claimed by Christ, and His coming in history at Christmas. Today we're told that we must be ready, but there's nothing to fear as we wait God's arrival at the end of time. So stay awake. Stay alive to the power and the promises of God. They come at us endlessly, surprisingly, in ways that we sometimes least expect. And we can miss it, we can sleep through it, or we can wake up to the promises that we are loved, that we are God's, that we are a people of destiny. So it's Advent. Wake up and stay awake to the gifts and the powers and the presence of God in our midst. For those gifts are designed to revolutionize and to change our lives. And the revolution goes on, just as it is going on right now. And so besides the word awake, rejoice and be glad. Amen.